Hey, it's Beth here. It's episode 71. It's February 20th, 2020, actually. And I'm still, over 65. The malady continues. And I'm still talking. So, okay, here it is. I was up again last night, 3 hours. Yeah, 2:30 to 5:30. Wonder. I mean, you know, F. Scott told us all about Zelda, and he said that for Zelda, every hour was 4 a.m. Well, you know what? 3 a.m. isn't that good either. You know, sorry, F. Scott, but it's a big pocket of hours that are no good. So anyway, I was thinking about the dangerous world of gift giving and how many people, you know, re-gift, never use the gift. And, you know, there's so many people to buy gifts for. So what made me think about this is I've got another sponsor. Her name is Melissa Gerber, and she is on a mission. This is great. I didn't know this. It starts out badly. We waste 81 pounds of clothing a year. That's a lot. And I had no idea. Who knew? No one. So donating to thrift shops doesn't really cut it. They can't keep up. So 10 years ago, Melissa started this company and she resells online to reduce the waste, which is so awesome. And we can help her because she has this amazing company where you pick a type. So you're going to get your grandchild some presents, right? And the presents is going to be a feel-good present because it's going to be clothes. And you pick the style of your grandchild, you know, like, is he sporty or is he trendy or whatever. You give her the size, you give her the season that you're interested in, and you give her some more notes. And she will send you for like $49, for $50, she will send you $150 worth of clothes. Brand name stuff, gently used. And so your grandchild opens up this incredible box and it's got 10 high quality items in it. Throw them around the room. How exciting. And it's just great. So, and it arrives in a big, beautiful box, you know, so that he can open up himself or she can. This is a winner. This makes moms happy, dad's happy, your grandchild happy. You can get a 15% discount by just putting in over 65. It's a great gift. It won't upset anybody. It is great for the environment. No one's thought of this before. And you can watch this great video that can show you what it looks like when they open the box. It's like 45 seconds or a minute. It's so adorable. These two little kids. You can see what it looks like. So the thing is, I've been thinking about this a lot lately anyway, because, you know, I'm older, right? 65. So I'm talking to people. And they're like, you know, I gave my daughter-in-law this incredible gift and she never said thank you, no, she'd never see it. I never go to her house. She never uses it. I buy my grandchildren toys or I buy them clothes. I never see the clothes. I never see anything. No, thank you. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh my God. Well, sure, I feel terrible. And sure, that's happened to me until last night. I woke up in the middle of the night. I mean, I knew this, but I try not to know things that make me look bad. And I was that daughter-in-law. I really was. I was terrible. I was the worst offender of them all. And I felt like the victim. I made myself the victim while I was committing the crime. My poor mother-in-law. And yes, I am saying that, my poor mother-in-law. I didn't say that for 40 years, of course. No. I didn't say that in the first part of my marriage. And I felt really great about my victimization. And then, you know, the blinders came off earlier, but I didn't really own it till now. But I did have to look at myself in natural lighting, and I looked terrible. And I was a load. And nothing she ever did was good enough for me. I criticized everything. And part of our problem, you know, she was the story of the trouble with Presbyterians is really about her. Part of the problem was she was good. she and her husband were perfect. My parents were not. I mean, my mother thought that Edward Albee was taking it easy, wasn't telling the truth, that it was so much worse than it was. She thought Eugene O'Neill was looking in her window. She and my father had a terrible marriage, and she hated him. So it was kind of hard trying to blend into this healthy situation. And they didn't know any about my backstory, so that's not really either here nor there. But I'm trying to defend myself, because when I saw their garage was organized on the first trip, that was way before it was cool to do that. And then they were friends. And they had friends, couples they went out with. They played golf together. They put the turkey together themselves. They had rituals. They enjoyed each other's company. Who does that? It just felt so irritating to me. And then she would give me thoughtful gifts at Christmas and birthdays, and they were always on time, and they were wrapped. But the thing is, there were things that she wanted me to have, like serving spoons. I had serving spoons. They were in the sandbox in the backyard. The thing that broke me, she got me a brisker. I mean, that is a thing that keeps things crisp in your house. In my house, if it was crisp and it was delicious, it was gone. I didn't need to worry about it lasting 6 or 7 days. That wasn't my thing. I just felt like she was always judging me. I mean, I would eat nobody else would do it, I would eat all the potato chips. Nothing ever wasn't crisp in our house, because I didn't buy things that we didn't like. I didn't know what she was talking about. They would have like 4 potato chips with their sandwich. It's like, that's how they thought, and they enjoyed it. And they thought it was fun. That's what they thought it was supposed to be. So I always felt like she was judging me. Gift giving became this issue where she was like, oh, I would be like, oh, that's what she thinks of me. Like, I need a brisker. And, you know, but there were many other things too. And a lot of them were really nice. Really, really nice gifts, like sharp knives. She thought I needed sharp knives. Well, I told her I'd kill myself. She said, no, sharp knives. Actually, you cut yourself less with sharp knives now. I'll tell you what, that sounded suspicious to me. It's true, but it sounds suspicious. So, you know, all these things were, everything I had that wasn't good in my house, she was replacing with things that were good. And I took it like real, real criticism. So anyway, for many reasons, not just this, I ended up in therapy. Almost my idea. And it was for emotional, spiritual, and whatever other reasons that anybody could go into therapy for. I went into therapy. And really, the funny thing is, the only thing I fixed was how I felt about my mother-in-law, my dynamic with my mother-in-law. And she wasn't so bad. In fact, I don't know, maybe she really liked me. I mean, I wasn't the catbird position. I was the second wife. And I couldn't see it at the time, but that's really a great position. So anyway, after a while, I got to see that actually it wasn't even benign that I totally put her through the mill. And I had. There wasn't a moment where I gave her a break. I mean, but I was the victim. In my mind, I was the one who was being abused and put down. So I created a situation where I was righteous, but I was mean. Withholding, or the things I actually hate that I hate when other people do them, I did them to her. But I felt like I was a victim. So it was just a response, a reaction to being abused. But so I was actually guilt-free about it, which really makes it obnoxious. I don't know how she could stand me. But anyway, I hate that I was mean, and I hate that I put her through that. And when I saw it, oh my God, I'm going to get it joked up. I felt sick about it. I was, I don't know, maybe we'd been married like 15 years. So she went through 15 years of hell. And maybe even less. I don't know. I really can't even think. But she went through a hell of a long time of it, right? When I finally saw what I was doing, and you could say, oh yeah, Beth, sure. Your mother-in-law was great. Uh-huh. It's all your fault. Yeah, right. But in this particular instance, it was. And I have proof because I took her out to an expensive lunch. She was like in shock that I wanted to be with her. She got all dressed up. It was really cute. And we'd go out. I mean, she put makeup on and we were like Neiman Marcus restaurant. I mean, we went the whole nine yards. And anyway, I start telling her that I started therapy and she turned pale. So I told her, look, I discussed everything in my therapy. I discussed my childhood, you know, the nuns, that I never got a Patty Play Pal. And then I looked at her and I said, I am really sorry what I did to you. She burst into hysterics in this really nice restaurant. I reduced a Presbyterian into a gibbering idiot. That's how much I hurt her. Oh my God, she never cried before in her life. Just thinking about it. But anyway, what she told me was that she felt like she, first of all, she said, I'm so relieved. And then she said, I thought I was doing something wrong all this time. And I thought, she said, I thought I'd done it wrong before. And I thought I was doing it wrong again. And I'm really sorry about the gifts. And I didn't mean to, because I told her about the gifts. Like that was in with Patty Play Pal. And she said, I wasn't trying to show you up. I was trying to connect with you. I was trying to give you all the things that I loved. I wanted you to have everything that I loved. I was like, oh my God. Well, I mean, we actually grabbed hands. From that moment on, we were friends. We never let one thing get between us again. I completely misunderstood her gift giving. Completely. That's why gift giving is fraught with peril. It is tough. In a way, it kind of tells the other person what you think of them. But they can misinterpret it, like I did. I mean, I'm sure I'm crazier than most, and I get that. But it can be misunderstood. So you got to be really, really careful. And I'm so scared of karma. I'm so scared of what my daughter-in-law is going to do to me because I deserve it. I don't deserve an even break or anything. But I'm just saying, look, be careful. But this gift that I'm telling you about, this do life, is amazing. Because anyway, if you got your grandchild a gift, if you got him the Sonic the Hedgehog, by the time you put it in a box, in the mail, by the time it got to him, he's going to change what he wants. They move so fast now. You can't keep up. So really, a gift that's good for the world, for the environment, make your whole family feel good about it, maybe that's the way we should go. Maybe we should all think like that. Maybe it's just time to give really good gifts that just try to help. Just try to help the world. Just try to help something. Maybe that's the best we can do. And maybe making everybody feel a little bit good about it is the biggest gift you can give. So that's all I've got. Just, you know, try to help maybe a little fix the world. And that might be the best gift anybody could give anybody. So anyway, I love that personally, and that's what I'm going to do if I ever get a grandchild, which I will. I will somehow, some way. So anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll be back soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.